So what's pressing and stressing you right now? Show of hands if you'd like to play along. I invite you to do that. How about it? Deadlines at work. Are you pressed, stressed with deadlines at work right now or just a pileup of work? Anybody? Okay, several of you. Yep, you know it. How about staffing at work? I'm hearing this over and over again from different people. I can't keep enough people hired, or you're struggling because there aren't enough people hired, or you're just wanting to find a different place to work yourself. Stress and press. How about broader family relational crises? Don't lift your hand if the person is sitting next to you causing this crisis. How about it? Broader family relational crises. Anybody willing to admit that? Yep, bunch of us. Okay, you know about that. How about a home improvement project? Anybody got one of those going on? We do too at our house. Isn't it fun? It's crazy. It's press and stress. How about back to school issues? Back to school issues. Either you're dreading going back to school or it can't come soon enough if you're a parent. How about health stressors? Health stressors, either personally or somebody you love. Yeah, press and stress from that. How about time demands with meetings, meeting mania, death by meeting, meetings got you stressed. Yeah. How about other people's demands and expectations? Yeah, can be crazy. I bet you feel it too, the press and the stress of fall season coming. It seems like everything is cranking up back into high gear. I just want to remind you, in the past 18 to 24 months, you prayed that this would happen. Because we've come through a couple seasons where it's just been like, oh, is anything ever going to get back to whatever back to normal means? And it seems like things have really cranked up or are cranking up. Now, I've personally had a full week, a really good week, really, really good week, but seriously, full of meetings plus projects, both short range and long range planning, and it's good. Most of us would say full is good, right? Until it's not, right? Yeah, and so it seems with fall's arrival, and it's not just this year, but each and every year, there's a spike in activity and interaction. And if we're truthful, it's not that summer is really all that lazy. I mean, I don't think a one of you would say, oh, I had just a great lazy summer. No, not really. But for most of us, fall is just a different sort of press and pace and stress. Here's the deal, though. What happens when it moves beyond just regular busyness of tasks, when it blends in people and their pressing needs and their life crises and hurts and heartaches, all the good stuff we've been talking about this summer with Living Scent and what it means to be on mission with Jesus with the gospel and Living Scent in the mix with people. But when their expectations press in on you, how do you handle that? So what happens when schedules and tasks and people issues press you and stress you in the midst of Living Scent? Some of us, when that happens, shut down. Or we melt down. Or we blow up. Some of us bail out, quit. Try to withdraw altogether? Amidst press and stress, how do you respond? Ponder it. How do you normally, when it really happens, when the press and stress pushes in, how do you respond? How do you stay healthy and stay focused on others? After all, that's not just something we want. That's something God wants for us to stay healthy. And we need that now more than ever as so many of us are transitioning through what has already been strenuous and pressed time and season. But as things switch around now, what's it mean to be healthy spiritually, emotionally, physically, overall as God desires for us and actually stay focused and live lives truly sent on purpose with the gospel? Jesus knew all about such feelings. He did. Just listen to Mark 1, 35 through 39. Just take a listen, and then we're going to tear these verses apart in the next few minutes together. Just listen to Mark 1, 35 through 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, across this summer, we've been seeing Jesus and his disciples, their postures and their priorities and their practices for living purposefully sent with the good news. We soak in this morning several more right here in these verses, especially related to how they handled press and stress while living sent. So these are some very significant insights. Here's the first: press and stress, live sent insight. First one, learn your limitations. Learn your limitations. Verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Note how Jesus got up and left the house. What house? Well, Peter's mother-in-law's house in Capernaum. It's the very house we've spent a whole bunch of time in the last couple of Sundays during our teaching time. That house. It's the one where everything and everyone was so desperate and needy. We saw it last week. Everybody was so desperate and needy, and they came to meet Jesus, and they were pressing in at the doorway. And that day, the day before, the day we're in this section, the day was filled with people interaction and teaching and miracles. And so then, they'd apparently spent the night, Jesus and at least some, if not all, of the disciples, spent the night there at that house. Vital to consider Jesus' humanity. Jesus' humanity. He got weary. Yes, the Son of God. Yes, God come in a body. Yes, the one fully God was also fully human, and he got weary. When's the last time you actually thought about Jesus as needing rest? He needed rest, and he slept. So over in chapter 4, you probably have caught this if you've been taking the Mark read-through challenge each week this summer. He and his disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, Mark chapter 4, in a boat, and verses 37 through 39 say, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. It's a stunning scene. There are other scenes, like over in chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Verse 31, then because so many people were coming, feel the stress and the press, so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Wow, there's a statement from Jesus. Some of you this morning might just say, okay, that's good. That's all I needed today. I just hear Jesus say that. All right, good. I'm out of here. Yeah. Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. Ironically, those best intentions were short-lived as people chased them. Jesus had compassion, taught them, and then fed the 5,000 in verses 45 and 46. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Consider it. Now think on it this way. If Jesus, Son of God, fully God. If Jesus got exhausted and knew his own limitations and knew the importance of pulling away for rest, there's nothing wrong with you admitting that you're tired and needing rest. It's vital we become more and more aware of our own limitations. We need food. We need sleep. We need time off. We need good, safe friends. You heard Donna talking about it. You need wise people in your life. We need laughter. We need doctor's checkups. We need supportive teamwork. Because none of us, not a one of us, all on our own, are all sufficient to conquer the world, no matter how much we might try. Jesus himself was all about building his team of friends, the disciples, and building into their lives. He was all about that. So it could be really good this morning to rate yourself. Build your own scale, okay? Whatever you want to do in terms of a scale, and rate yourself. How well do you know your own limitations? What do you need to do differently in this coming season in order to address your own limits in healthier ways? We also need safe places. We need solitary places. Look at verse 35 again. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It's not only essential that we learn our own limitations, but, and here's the second, press and stress, live, set, in sight, find your Rivendell. Find your Rivendell. Now, if you're a Tolkien Rings fan, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Rivendell. It's the last homely house. It's the grand retreat center in The Lord of the Rings and in The Hobbit. A Rivendell is that spot where Bilbo and Frodo and the Fellowship land, and it's there that they gain crazy good refreshment, and they find wise friends, and they fellowship together, and they're re-energized and refreshed for the journey. Rivendell. One of my favorite explanations by Tolkien is this. Such is the virtue of the land of Rivendell that soon all fear and anxiety was lifted from their minds. We all need Rivendell. Back to Jesus in Mark 1 and our verses. Note it, the next morning, he's up and out. And he heads to some solitary place. What's he doing? He gets away. Who among us is a morning person? Who's a morning person? Okay. My hand's up too. Morning person. Okay. Who among us is absolutely not? All right. I see more hands up. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. For those of you absolutely nots, who's married to a morning person? Okay, so talk about press and stress, right? Ooh, ouch. Yeah, this might just happen to go on in our house. I'm more the morning person. Nance, not so much. Some would like to say that this proves Jesus was a morning person. Maybe, but we really don't know. We really don't know, because across the Gospels, we see Jesus up and working at all sorts of times. It might be why, that might just be why he ends up napping on a boat ride in a storm. You know, he's so tired and sleepy that he's napping on the boat in the midst of the storm. Maybe that's it. The big deal right here is that on this day, Jesus got up early and went to a solitary place. He found his Rivendell. Now, do you have such a place? Do you have such a place? It might be a spot in your house that's dedicated for calm, for reflection, for interacting in God's word, and for prayer, and for journaling, if you like to journal. For me, one of my spots is an old leather chair in the corner of our family room. It might be a favorite spot to walk. hike or otherwise go solo. Just you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then if you're like me, the dog comes along too. Most of us need such a place or places for daily times of unhurried communion. Plus, we need occasional, seasonal places like this, and even annual or every several years places. If you don't have a Rivendell, and you're finding yourself extra pressed and stressed and maxed in your pursuit of living sin, one of the holiest, most Jesus-like things you can do starting today is very intentionally find a place like that and plan to be there sooner, not later. Harris III, amazing magician and leader of the Story Conference, he recently, in the past year or so, tweeted this. He said, just in self-reflection, learning that one of the enemies of wonder is a lack of margin. We're all so busy looking down at our phones that we don't make time to look up at the stars. And there's this sense in which Rivendell for you might need to start by just simply being more device-less. Start looking up and looking toward Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in your life. To determine you'll come apart. You'll come apart from the press so that you don't fall apart. Now notice our anchor scripture again. Jesus goes there very intentionally. What's it say? Where he what? Prayed. Where he prayed. So here's our third press and stress, live sent insight. Learn to pray to commune with your Father. Learn to pray. Not only learn your own limitations, not only find your Rivendell, but learn to pray to commune with your Father. Now, real quick, please don't check out if you're immediately thinking, oh no, that prayer thing. Oh, it's really so boring. I used to think and feel the same way. Sincerely, I did. And honestly, still at times when I'm super stressed and pressed, I still sometimes feel this way about prayer. Now, I'm action-oriented. So I tend to think when press and stress are coming in on me, well, power up. Come on, buddy, just power up, stay on the go, make stuff happen. Anybody else make stuff happen kind of person? And so what your default can be in the midst of press and stress, just power through. Because I lean more toward creative imagination as well, I find myself still today at times, and I have across the years, found myself frustrated when prayer was presented as something rather dry and predictable and formulaic and even blasé. Now, big key is realizing that prayer at its very core is truly communication, regular convo, in the regular rhythms of daily life with God, the kind of convo in the regular rhythms of life that equates to real communion. Even creative convo with your creative God, the God of wonder. Here was a breakthrough several years back for me, and one that I am still learning daily and weekly. One I need to come back to again and again. Prayer means constant awareness of his presence. It means constant awareness of his presence, and then the God-reliant, wonder-filled conversations to back it up. So the kind of regular rhythms that Jesus had, you know, we wonder when we look across the Gospels and we see Jesus saying, well, I work with my Father. I don't do anything without the Father's lead, the Father's prompting. Well, how did he get that? Well, he got that in regular convo with his Father. He got that in the regular rhythms of life and recognizing his Father's presence and then walking step at a time in even creative conversation with him. This means we keep it real, authentic, natural. It's evident that that's what prayer meant to Jesus. Refreshing prayer will be natural and constant convo in the Father's presence. We express to our Father our joyous praise and thanks. The joy and thanks flow. And then we talk to him with our constant heart cries. Our heart cries to him, our authentic, raw heart cries, both our own and others. And so we express it in sunrises and starlight at night. We call to him for what we need, and we affirm how much we're trusting him to accomplish it. What we talked about last week, the man who cries out to Jesus and says, I believe, but help my unbelief. And we're just willing to be real and raw with him about that and express our need and then say, and I'm trusting you in those spots I'm not, help. We admit to Jesus where we need his shepherd guidance and wisdom. And we express to the Spirit those areas where we need a greater correction, better fruit, and his protective armor guarding us. When's the last time you actually just opened up and said, Lord, today, guide me and guard me. Guard me, guide me. Praying for others, we can use prayer triggers. If you find that this business of praying for other people, interceding, not sure how to do that, I'd encourage you to find some prayer triggers. Now, this is what this looks like in my own life. Some of you know, some of you don't. I often pray for people based on their car types. Yeah, cars serve as triggers for me. Some of you are grinning at me like, what in the world? Okay, this is what works with me. Let me just hear me out on this, okay? This is what works for me. I grew up with a dad who was a car guy. And so from an early age, I got used to recognizing makes and models of cars. But then I also learned to associate car types with people. So still to this day, I do it. Several years ago, I got in the habit of interceding for others while driving. I keep my eyes open, okay? But interceding while driving. And I shared this several years back in a similar setting to this, and one of you sent me a message that Sunday evening. And the message simply said, we drive an orange-red Honda Element. Thank you. So I'll be praying for them. And to this day, you still get prayed for. Your car may have changed by now, but you still get prayed for when I see a red Honda Element. And I'll be watching my inbox this afternoon and this evening for the rest of your car types. I already, in between services, I've got one from somebody at 9 o'clock service. Prayer can happen via journaling and painting or other artistic expressions just as much as in sitting by calm candlelight. It can happen via prayer walking. And if you'd like to learn even more how to pray, there are two great opportunities. One of them is this little book, so good. It's called Enjoy Your Prayer Life by Michael Reeves. I've got a couple copies left this morning, and it's free. You can come grab one. First come, first serve there. And then if you want to grab one online, they're real inexpensive. But great primer. Our prayer team, about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, relaunched as a team reading this little booklet. It's rich, it's deep, it's wide and insightful and very, very meaningful. I'd encourage you to grab a copy. Let that prime the pump of your prayer life. Then starting September, next month, we're going to have a once-a-month prayer training group led by Phil Wright and Liz Messick. And we did this last year with Manners Prayer Team to get us started again. And if you'd like more info, feel free to see a prayer team member down front when we're all done today, or contact us during the week this week and be watching. There's going to be more info coming out about dates and times, September through February, for once-a-month prayer training. It's going to be very, very meaningful. Now look at one more insight as we finish today. One more. Here it is. Be ready to respond and re-engage for impact with others. Be ready to respond and re-engage for impact with others. Look closer at verses 36 and 37. Simon and his companions went to look for Jesus, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." How's that for a greeting early morning? Wow. Notice who comes to find him: Simon and his companions. Now, this is Peter and the gang. Peter could be impulsive, pushy, and reactionary in situations. At this point, he's still young. By the time we read Peter's letters, which show up later in the New Testament, he's all seasoned and reflective. First and Second Peter, he's older, he's wiser, he's a sage old church leader. But in these days, some scholars conjecture that Peter and the disciples may have been closer to the student age range, late teens or early 20s. What's Jesus' response when they come saying, "Everybody's looking for you"? What's his response? "Buzz off, guys, I'm trying to enjoy Rivendell." No way. Well, what's he say instead? Well, verses 38 and 39 show us he's ready to re-engage for impact. And notice the priority and the practice. Notice the purpose. Notice the laser-focused purpose on his part. He replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages." Notice he is not compelled to just cave in to the demands. He knows his limitations. He knows to whom he is called. He knows his identity. He's clear on that. He doesn't look at the disciples and go, "Okay, let's go." But he is ready to re-engage to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. "That is why I have come." He knows his life purpose. He knows his calling. He knows he's sent by the Father on this mission. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Be ready to widen your circles this fall. Be ready to widen your circles. Expand your influence footprint. Know who you are and what you're about, absolutely. Know your limitations. Know that you need rest. Know that you need rejuvenated. Know that you need to pray. But then be ready to re-engage and watch the Father use you and move through you on mission with him. This is all part of the missional adventure Jesus has called us all to take. Have you expanded your circle and gone new places lately? What might that look like in the coming season? Consider these ideas as we wrap up. First, meet some new neighbors or long-term neighbors. Meet a new coworker or a long-term coworker that you think you know real well, but you haven't gotten past, "Hey, how are you?" in a couple years. Expand your circle. Sign up for Manor Serves Fall Edition. Brian mentioned it earlier. Already it went live. The sign up online went live this week, and already boom, 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 boom. Lots of you are signing up. That's great. This is a tremendous opportunity to expand your circle, to love on and serve others within our community. I want to encourage you to share invitations with friends and family for upcoming events. Our new fall series starts a few weekends from now. We've still got a few more weeks of Live Sent as we finish Mark chapter 1. But your card today spotlights our new series for fall called What Would Jesus Say To? And we're going to consider a number of different current day, out in the live wild world people and what Jesus might say to them, but most importantly, what he wants to say to us as Manor Church through that lens. Now, why is all of this so important right now? Well, the coming season, fall, can seem pressed and stressed. And we've all got so many exciting things ramping up right now, from your workplace, stuff ramping up, to school, to fall sports, and here at Manor Church. And you're aiming to live sent. I know you are. So many of you have been sharing with me the ways, the new ways and ongoing ways that you're aiming to live sent, and it's wonderful. And Jesus' example right here can help each of us actually have your best fall ever. Truly. Because he's sending us. Gabby and the band are coming back. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's stand. They're going to lead us in a closing package of worship together. So as they're coming, I want to invite you to get your heart ready, and I want to invite you to pray with me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray together as we get ready to worship some more. We praise you, Father, that even in the press and stress of desperate situations and needy people, you call us into places of replenishment, and prayer, and refreshment in you. Please, O Lord, give us the gracious wisdom to make the most of such places and to be recharged and refortified for the challenges and the opportunities that are ahead for us in this coming season. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're aiming to live sent. We're aiming to live sent for your glory and praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing out together with all our hearts.